there, and welcome to another edition of Leading Edge. I'm your host, Jeff Smith. I hope you had a great holiday season. A little later, what we should all be thinking about artificial intelligence in 2024. But first, I wanted to revisit with you an invite that we got this week to the governor's mansion in Columbus. We wanted to move the ball forward and have the leader of the state talk about Northwest Ohio. I wanted to start off talking about the money that went to US 23 for the study for the Ohio Department of Transportation. You put money back in last year, I think it was, for that study to be done. But I can tell you all full and well, talking to ODOT, talking to TMACOG, they have told me we are decades away from that ever coming to fruition. I bring it up because of the Intel project and the possible waves of influence that could come from that. But we've been told, Governor, because of all the stoplights, Toledo's not going to benefit from that project. So I guess give me an update.
Yeah.
What you see happening as far as the importance of that corridor.
First of all, I am very aware, because I drive it also when I go to Toledo and come back from Toledo, that we have an unacceptable time that takes to drive from Columbus to Toledo or and back and forth. That is totally unacceptable. We're really on two tracks. One track is, what can we do with the stop lights now? What are the things, changes that can be made? And so I've got ODOT, you know, not only looking at that, but starting to do some things to, you know, pick up a few minutes here, a few minutes there. The other big question, though, or the other looking at from a big point of view, we're doing a full study in the state of Ohio about transportation. And I met with the people who are doing the study. These are professionals. This is what they do. We wanted to get someone, frankly, who could take a fresh look at where we are in regard to transportation. I met with them, and I told them a couple things. Number one, I want you to look at 23. I want you to look at the route between Toledo and Columbus. Look at from the big picture point of view. Two, you need to look at Central Ohio, which is growing, and those two issues are certainly very much related. You know, what we do to deal with the growth in Central Ohio so people can get around is linked directly into what happens in that route between Toledo and Columbus. I also told them to look at Eastern Ohio, and there's a road in Eastern Ohio that we want them to look at, that the people in that part of the state are looking at as far as economic development. So I had three specific things, but they're looking at absolutely everything. You know, we're gonna stay on that, and we hope come up with some solutions that, you know, will have some impact. My fear always is that we wait too long to make decisions. And, you know, to build a road or to dramatically change roads takes a long time. And so
we saw it happen with US 24, the Fort Wayne to Waterville.
Again, you know, we have to make these decisions as early as we can. Mm-hmm. The culture many times is that we react, that building roads or altering roads, we're reacting to something that's already happened. We got to get in front of this, and so that we are making those decisions as early, as we can.
Do you see it putting the brakes on Toledo benefiting, Northwest Ohio, Wood County benefiting from getting any kind of fallout or good tidings from the Intel project?
Yeah, absolutely. Look. If you look at what's going on in Northwest Ohio, you have to be very bullish on that part of the state as well as the rest of the state. You know, Wood County, as you know, is really going very, very quickly. We're also seeing other things in Lucas County and all the other counties in Northwest Ohio.
You had two big gun legislation pieces that passed, I think in March and also in June last year. And we just had a scenario at our last remaining mall in Northwest Ohio, Franklin Park Mall. 16-year-old in the mall, in the food court, gun goes off. Accidentally, according to Toledo police, shoots him in the leg, goes through his leg, ricochets, hits a girl, goes into her leg. He had a loaded gun in the mall. When you hear stories like this, now, I'm not saying, Governor, that he was the only kid in the mall with a gun that day. Paul's son was actually one of the Toledo police officers who chased him down. Mm. My question to you is, do you
ever see regret? Do you ever have moments where maybe I need to Monday morning quarterback a little bit, this gun legislation and what it's doing to communities? We had more young people shot and killed this year than in at least 20, 30 years in Toledo this year.
Yeah, every state is seeing this, and certainly every city in the state of Ohio is seeing the gun violence that is in fact occurring. I think there's a couple things that we clearly can do. Let me start with something we are doing. We can come in, we're a state of local police, we have over 900 police departments, but if they ask us, the state can come in, we can bring the highway patrol in. We've done this, I think, in over a dozen places in this state. If the mayor asks us, the chief of police asks us, we can do a surge and we can come in. And what we do is we bring the highway patrol in to back up the police. We bring a helicopter and put it up in the air to help the police and talk directly to the police when they're trying to apprehend something or are apprehending somebody. We bring in liquor control that can go check on someone, does someone have a gun when they're going into a liquor establishment, which they're not supposed to have. We also bring in the parole authority. And they can do a surge and they can go out and check everybody in Toledo or whatever the community is who's on parole. They're not supposed to have guns, and they other things they can see that whether they're in violation. Every place we've done that, we've had good results. Every place we've done that, we've picked up a lot of guns, taken guns off the streets, we've taken them away from people who should not have them, and we've charged a number of people who are already convicted of felonies. So we can do that. We can do that in Toledo. We can do that in any community that wants us and says, come on in and help us with that surge. The second thing that we need to do, we have to have the legislature to do. And that is a bill that I have proposed in the past. Going back to the time when I was...
What is a bill that you have...
Yeah, let me explain what the bill
sure.
is.
Sure.
And it goes back to what I learned as a prosecutor. And that is, many times there will be a family. Families usually know if they have someone in the family with a problem. Someone has a mental health problem and has guns. Someone who is a drug addict has guns. Someone who's an alcoholic and they have guns. Mm. Under our bill, that family member or somebody else would be able to go into court, go in front of a judge, and if that judge determined that person was a danger to themselves or a danger to other people of killing someone, that judge could then order the police to take those guns away. It's that protects the Second Amendment. It's not the red flag that people get upset about in other states, but I've asked the legislature to pass that. It's there. I would like for them to pass this bill because it will save a lot of lives.
But this was a 16-year-old. As a grandfather, as a father, doesn't that give you pause?
Yes, it gives me pause. I don't know all the facts about that. What I'm telling you is these are three things I mentioned that I will guarantee you will save lives and that we can implement and do. Two of them, I have to have the legislature. The other one, I'm doing.
When we come back, more from Columbus as our conversation continues with Ohio Governor Mike DeWine. Welcome back to Leading Edge. More from our conversation now this week with Ohio Governor Mike DeWine.
We've got a data center that has been announced in Wood County. What is the draw, I guess, for your administration to find, seize opportunities for Northwest Ohio? And can you tell us anything as far as that data center is concerned? Because we still don't have a name on it.
Well, what we can tell you about data centers in general is while they do not employ a lot of people, they attract other companies to come. And that's why we love data centers, because other companies see they want to be close to a data center. Mm-hmm. And so when you're getting a data center, that's a good indication. And it's a good indication of what's going to come. Look, if you look at Northwest Ohio, think of the assets that are there. We have the water. Northwest Ohio is located within a day's drive. You got 60% of Canada, 60% of the United States. You've got a good workforce. I mean, think of the workforce. So all of these things are just very, very positive. And if we can, you know, make sure that we are educating people and make sure that everybody has great opportunities, we're going to be just fine.
What did you learn from the UAW strike?
Look, you know, it's not government's job to interfere in negotiations that are going on. And, you know, you need to stand back and let those things get worked out. And it did. It did, in fact, get worked out. I think if you look at the big picture auto industry, you know.
Or contracts.
Let me talk about the auto industry in general, though. We are seeing, obviously, a transition. And we're going away from, you know, Ohio has historically been a great auto manufacturer, but also a great auto parts manufacturer. But now we're moving, and we don't know how quickly, but we're moving to electric. So what we have concentrated on, one of the things we've concentrated on is let's make sure that we are in this new industry, because it is changing. And we got, so we get, you know, a battery plant that's now being built in Jeffersonville. We've got other things around the state. So, you know, we're excited about that. And I think that, you know, one of our challenges is to make sure that we get out there and have enough places where people can plug in. We were the first state, I'm proud of it, first state of all 50 states to implement the federal program, federal government paying 80% of it, to put these battery chargers, you know, all over the state of Ohio.
So dealerships that are coming out and being against the Biden administration pushing so hard to have everybody EV ready, have all of the GM by 2030, are you telling the dealerships to embrace the change?
I think what's going to happen, it's what happens a lot of times when you have change. It's slow and it remains slow, but then you look up someday and it kicks in. And, you know, what we have to do as a state is know that this is coming, and we have embraced it. So I'm not telling, you know, dealerships to do one thing or the other, but it is going to come. And the more people have confidence, the buyers have confidence, I've got a place to plug in, it doesn't take me too long to recharge, and when I figure out the cost, I'm better off going to electric. Consumers will act in their own self-interest, and that's what we should expect them to do.
I wanted to ask you about Lydia Mollick. Former Findlay mayor, obviously Ohio director of Ohio Department of Development. Do you see a bigger role for her coming down the line? And what could that potentially be?
Well, I picked Lydia to head the very, very important department for us. And in fact, the job that she has done has been super. And I like having a mayor in that position, a former mayor in that position. She was mayor of Findlay and did a great job there. So I think Lydia's, you've asked about her future. I hope she stays with me for three more years and finishes out the term. She'll have 8 years in that very, very key position looking at economic development. But she has a great future. Whatever she wants to do, she's going to be able to do in government and in politics.
JohnHusted.com has been up and running for quite some time now. I mean, could Lydia potentially be a lieutenant governor candidate?
Well, I'll leave that to John and Lydia. I'm not going to get involved in picking John's running mate. But look, yeah, Lydia will do a great job in any position she occupies. She is pragmatic. She's had the great experience of being a mayor of a significant city in the state of Ohio. And if you look at what she's done for 5 years, she has been directly involved in economic development every single step of the way and has figured out how to solve problems and cut through bureaucracy and cut through red tape and get results for people. So she's great.
Did you make a New Year's resolution?
I have not.
Do you typically?
Yeah, but sometimes I don't do them. I gave up on that. No real resolution.
What's your biggest hope for Ohio in 2024?
I think my biggest hope is that we can roll out this science of reading so that we're really making progress. Look, kids, and I know this from my own family, we have 8 kids, we have 27 grandkids. Kids grow up unbelievably fast. They only have one chance to grow up. And we have to give them the best education that they can get, and particularly in the area of reading. So the you know, reading is the key to everything else in school, but it's also the key to everything else in life. And when we still have about a third of our kids who are not reading at grade level in third grade or fourth grade, that's a challenge, and we have to fix it.
Stay right there. When we come back, we're going to talk AI. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I typed in a search this week for AI or artificial intelligence. I wanted to find out some myths behind it. Here were a few. AI is intelligent. AI can solve any problem. AI will destroy the world. What are we to believe? Is it a case of fear factor, or is it a change that we need to embrace? I want you to say hello to Jamie Ward, Dr. Jamie Ward from the Department of Communications, University of Toledo. Welcome to Leading Edge, first and foremost.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Great to have you here. So, should we embrace it? Should we fear it?
I think we absolutely should embrace it. I think that it's a tool. And when we start talking about AI, it's another tool in our toolkit. So we should embrace its uses, but also be cautious and be aware that there are ethical implications and things that we need to think about whenever we embrace kind of this new disruptive technology.
All right, you said cautious, not cautious. Fear.
Not fear.
Yeah, why the difference?
I think it's a tool, and I don't think we need to fear tools. We need to learn how to use them. We need to think about how those tools can affect different industries, how they affect society as a whole. But I don't think we need to fear them. I think we need to learn to embrace them and utilize them appropriately.
You've been looking at
fear.
Yeah, you've been looking into this for a long, long period of time. I felt like 2023 was the year where we started hearing about it more and more and more. Now, you've got to think in terms of technology. Cell phones were out way before we started buying them up every single month. But is 2024 where AI, we really start seeing the applications?
I think so. I think we'll start to really see how AI is implemented across multiple different industries. We'll start to see AI really being utilized and implemented. So you'll start to see more policies being created for AI and AI use. You'll start to see different ways that AI is implemented, and you'll start to see really the
application. When you say policies, let me go back. When you say policies, do you mean protections, laws?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
So I think from a policy standpoint, I'm thinking more of a business standpoint. So businesses need policies for how they expect employees to utilize AI. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's somewhat Wild West.
I gotcha.
We don't know how to use it. We don't know what the expectations are for AI. I think policies are going to protect a lot of organizations and a lot of individuals. Policies in that respect.
Let's talk about the pros and cons. We've got a list we wanted to show people at home, going down each specific one, the good and the bad, as far as those are concerned. And some of the ones that you pointed out to us, you said cost efficiency. Right, as far as the pros are concerned. Mm-hmm. Saves time, writing assistance, personalization, and data analysis. Mm-hmm. Those are the pros. Dive into one of those. Take one of those and tell me why.
Sure. So I think from a cost efficiency or kind of a time saver standpoint, I'll kind of combine those two. Mm-hmm. I think that AI really automates a lot of those tasks that we do over and over again. And AI can take those and do them much faster.
I brought up transcription.
Yes. So if you're looking at videos and you need to get transcription of a video, right? Or you're taking notes, you're in a meeting and you're taking notes. AI does that much faster, within seconds. It can transcribe the audio of a video or can transcribe audio from a full meeting, right? Something that would take an individual much, much longer.
Right.
They can then use that time to do other tasks. So this is where AI really shines in those moments.
The cons, you said quality, lack of personalization, transparency, data privacy, and data dependency. Which one would you grab there?
Data privacy.
Okay.
Definitely. We have to be cautious of what we put into these AI systems. So if you have personal information or confidential information, you don't want to feed it into an AI generator because the output is going to provide that information to anyone who asks a similar question about the organization. So once the data goes in, it's no longer private. It's no longer confidential. Mm. So it's the output is presented to anyone who's looking for that information. So we really have to be careful about the information that we're feeding into these AI systems.
We talked about some of the tools that are out there, and people, you know, you're thinking to yourself, well, where do I find these things? Microsoft has got a generator that's already built. We wanted to take a look at that. What is this thing?
So Microsoft Bing does a great job at developing images. So it's somewhat like Midjourney or DALL-E 2, again, image generators, so AI image generators. And you put in different types of prompts, and the prompts then generate images. So if you are looking for animals, you want images generated of dogs, for example, the more descriptive you are, the better the AI is able to create that image in the likeness that you have described.
Yeah.
If it's a basic introduction, so I want a white dog with black spots, you're likely not to get the output that you're looking for. Whereas if you say, I want an Australian Shepherd with longer hair, dark spots, right, and a red collar, you're likely to get an image that is generated much more in that likeness. So the more descriptive your prompts can be, the better the output of the AI.
We've got about 15 seconds. Far-fetched, AI can solve or cure cancer. AI can cure diseases.
I think AI can do the data research. It can analyze the data to help the curation of the disease. The cure itself is gonna come from a human.
Dr. Ward, great stuff. I hope to talk to you more about
this
in the future.
Thank you, I hope so too.
Absolutely, we'll be right back. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. As always, if you missed any part of our interview, check out the WTOL 11 YouTube page. We'll see you next time.